Aleph that we just concluded, Rabbi Duberger really teaches this to us each year, the connection from the end of one kina to the beginning of the next. Rashati v'nasati v'nutasha ali. Because of our wickedness, I was forced to abandon the ohel. Before we recite kina yud beis, I want to speak a little bit about Beis HaMikdash. Lara says in Psachim Daf Nun Dalid that Kadosh Baruch Hu, before he even created the world, had his eyes kiviyachol set on seven things. One of them, of course, being Mikdash, Mishkan, the notion of Beis HaMikdash preceding the world itself. And it's a theme that, of course, is front and center throughout the entire day. The Rav spoke about the Mishmaros and Kina Yud. Chavdalid, Lamed Beis, we'll talk more about the, not just big picture Beis HaMikdash, but the Pratim of the Beis HaMikdash, specific Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, the details of the Beis HaMikdash, to try to picture, again, like the Rav is just describing, what does it mean for a family of Kohanim to lose their whole world? Not just their profession, but to have the Beis HaMikdash taken away. It's been less than 2 weeks since our family returned from Eretz Yisrael, and I've had a lot of Eretz Yisrael on my mind. And there's a theme that is very clearly spoken about, alluded to in the Torah, Chazal or Marich on this theme. Rishonim, each in their own way, developed this theme, and I think it's one of the most compelling reasons why we as Jews who are still in Chutz La'aretz need to think more about Eretz Yisrael. And I want to use this just as a springboard to then come to Beis HaMikdash. You know, at least twice a day, we say in Parshas Ekev, we say in the second paragraph of Kriyat Shema, something which, if we're listening, should shake us to the core. If you're 20 years old, you've said it over 15,000 times in your life. If you're 40 years old, you've said it at least 30,000 times in your life. Just to give a little perspective. We say, with knowledge, one of the fundamentals of our faith, that there's schar and onesh, that there's reward and punishment. There's a right way to do things, there's a wrong way to do things. If we keep the mitzvos, things will be good. If we don't keep the mitzvos, Kadosh Baruch Hu will be angry at us. And the Pesukim describe how when we fail to keep the mitzvos, then we'll so quickly be removed from our land, the good land that Kadosh Baruch Hu has given us. And then afterwards, the Torah reminds us we should make mezuzos, we should make tefillin, we should teach our children Torah. And Chazal clearly wanted to understand the connection between the two. What's the connection between the loss of Eretz Yisrael and the Torah's command to affix a mezuzah to your doorpost and to wear tefillin on your arm and on your head? So the Medrash, the Sifrei in Parshas Ekev, on the words of Avad Tembeira, says the following. Afalpi she'ani megaleh eschem min ha'aretz l'chutz la'aretz. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, because of your failures, I'm going to send you out of Eretz Yisrael l'chutz la'aretz, nonetheless, hayu mitzuyonim b'mitzvos. You should make sure that you keep up your practice of mitzvos. Why? Says the Medrash. She'kesha'atem chozim lo yu lachem chadash. So that when you are zocha, halavai soon to come back to Eretz Yisrael, you'll still know how to be a Jew. You'll practice the mitzvos in Chutz La'aretz. Medrash gives a mashal of a king who got angry at his rebbetzin, at the queen, sends her into exile, and he tells her, you know, the whole time you're away from the palace, make sure you still wear the big day malchus, make sure you wear the royal jewelry. Carry yourself in such a way that when my anger subsides and I bring you back, you'll still know what it means to be a queen. If we pay attention, it's an incredibly frightening Medrash. Because the Medrash is giving us this very scary notion that a life in Chutz La'aretz, and again, we'll come to Beis HaMikdash, this is just Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz La'aretz. A life in Chutz La'aretz is, in a certain sense, practice. She'll tell me, well, maybe it's practicing certain mitzvos that are more shayach to Eretz Yisrael. Of course, we know it can't be. The Gemara in Kedushin makes it very clear, the Mishnah in Kedushin Lamed Vav, it's very clear that mitzvos that are not bound to the land, of course, are nohag in Chutz La'aretz. It's not like when I put on my tefillin in Chutz La'aretz, it's just practice. But then you read Rashi. And Rashi adds a couple of words in expounding this Medrash. Af la'achar shetiglu hayu mitzuyonim b'mitzvos. Namely, keep practicing mitzvos, namely, hanichu tefillin, asu mezuzos. What is that? Why is that practice? Why is putting a mezuzah on my doorpost in Bergenfield? Why is that practice? That's not a mitzvah. That's tzuya ba'aretz. And yet, Rashi seems to say, and what Chazal are revealing to us at a certain level, is that there's a degree, of course, me'ikar adin, a person's chayiv and mitzvos in Chutz La'aretz. But the Torah and Chazal and the Rishonim are reflecting a certain deeper truth that there's a tremendous degree of bidyavad in a life in Chutz La'aretz. Rabbeinu Bachaya says it best, Hakavana b'zeh lomar, explaining this medrash. Ki af al pi shana osen amitzos v'chutz la'aretz, v'heim chovas haguf la'asosen b'chol makom. There's no question that from a strict halachic perspective, there's no question it's a chovas haguf. It has to be practiced here. But Chazal are revealing to us, says Rabbeinu Bachaya, she'ein ikr asiyosam ela v'eretz hakadosh. That the primary place to do mitzvos, while there's still a chiyah, there's still an obligation, of course we do the mitzvos here, but on a certain level, the ikr, fulfillment of mitzvos, is in Eretz Yisrael. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Klal Yisrael to be a special people, and he gave us a special way of living called the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a special land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to practice those mitzvos in. We're going to face that this Shabbos, Parshas Ve'eschanan. Many times over, it's very clear in the Chumash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be in Eretz Yisrael. That's one level. But these kinos that we're reciting now are reminding us not only are we in Chutz La'aretz, but we don't have Beis HaMikdash. Let's think about that together just for a couple of minutes. What does it mean to not have Beis HaMikdash? So I want to learn together a little bit from the hesped that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky gave for Aaron Cutler in 1962. The whole thing, it's beautiful, it's long, it's printed in the Sefer of Mechitzas Rabbeinu, who said in Yiddish, it was printed in Hebrew. And Rabbi Yaakov spoke, Beis Kislev 1962, he spoke about the Gemara Chazal's comparison between Chorban Beis HaMikdash and the loss of a tzaddik, the loss of a Talmud Chacham. As I'll say, great is Misa Tzaddikim like Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Everyone's curious, what's that comparison? What's the relationship between Misa Tzaddikim and Chorban Beis HaMikdash? So Rabbi Yaakov said, obviously the Pashup Shah is that they're both catastrophes, calamities, unbelievably large events in the life of the Jewish people. the loss of a Gadol B'Yisrael is something that shakes Klal Yisrael to the core. The loss of Beis HaMikdash obviously has to shake us to the core. But Rav Yaakov says, if you really want to understand what Chazal are saying in this comparison, you have to reflect, what is Beis HaMikdash? That's what we're thinking about today. What is Beis HaMikdash? So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said the following. He said that in Devarim Perek Yud Beis, when the Torah is about to tell us about the place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to manifest, it introduces it by reminding us how diligent we have to be, as we were just describing in Kinigot Aleph, Yoshiyahu's great mission to uproot every last shred of Avodah Zarah. To seek out Avodah Zarah from the hilltops, from beneath the trees, every little nook and cranny, to find the Avodah Zarah, to remove the Avodah Zarah. So Rav Yaakov said, the Rambam tells us the history of Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah began in the days of Enosh. And Rav Yaakov paused before he continued to expound the Rambam, how Avodah Zarah originally began. He paused and Rav Yaakov said, hold on a second. In Enosh's time, Adam HaRishon was still alive. Adam HaRishon, Yetzir Kapov Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu, how could it be that there was a generation that came to deny the Creator when they had met Adam HaRishon? Adam HaRishon knew, I didn't come from parents. I know I don't have biological parents. God made me. How could that be? Spoke with Hashem. Adam HaRishon talked to Hashem the way a person really has a conversation. Kadosh Baruch Hu spoke back. So how could in such a time period, how could in such a world, how could the Creator be denied or forgotten? So of course, as the Rambam goes on to explain, that was never the intention of Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah began as a Heicha Timsa, as an intermediary, as a way of giving honor to Hashem by praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creations. I can't see God, but I can see the sun, I can see the moon, I can see the stars. So maybe if I acknowledge them and give chashivas to them, as sort of the emissaries of the king, so then I'll come to a deeper hakara of the king himself. But of course, as the Rambam explains, the tafel became the ikar, and eventually HaKadosh Baruch Hu was replaced, God forbid, in this corrupted mindset, by the sun and the moon and the stars, v'chu. So said Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, so what do you see? U'mivuar midvar v'yisod gavo. We see from this Rambam an incredible yisod. The intention of Avodah Zarah was very noble. It was a means of being more connected to Hashem. She'avodas Hashem yisbarach yesh ofen miyuchad. But we see from the failure of Avodah Zarah, says Rav Yaakov, that Avodah Hashem has to follow a certain, very specific path. Va'ovei la'Hashem yisbarach shalom ba'ofen hamiyuchad la'avodaso. And if you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in some alternative way, harei ze bechal Avodah Zarah. In the most literal translation, Avodah Zarah, it's foreign worship. It's not the way it's supposed to be. And therefore, in the Yemei Enosh, they began to serve the stars, and they replaced the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And at first, their intention was, this is also part of Avodas Hashem. Yikol makom mikeivan shelo avdu ba'ofen hamiyuchad la'Hashem yisbarach hayezeh bechal Avodah Zarah. So says Rav Yaakov, so now we're starting to understand Dvarim Perek Yud Beis, remove all the Avodah Zarah, and come to Beis HaMikdash. Listen to Rav Yaakov. The essence of what Beis HaMikdash means. The kamoshi yesh ofen miyuchad la'avod la'Hashem yisbarach, kein yesh makom miyuchad la'avod. As you were describing Avodas Hashem, mitzvos in chutz la'aretz, it's not the ikar. Even the tefillin, even the mezuzah, mitzvos that are not tluyos la'aretz, are in some ways, Rabbeinu Bachaya said, not the ikar. It's confusing ikar and tafel. Beis HaMikdash, says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, just like there's a right way to serve Hashem, and a deviation from that is Avodah Zarah, so too there's a makom miyuchad, there's a place, there's an ideal place to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Beis HaMikdash. V'amakom ha-miyuchad la'avdo hu Beis HaMikdash, shu makom kadosh ha-mukhshar la'avodaso yizbarach. And that's why only after removing all of the Avodah Zarah, the Torah says, this is the place. This is the headquarters of interaction with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be. That's where we need to establish ourselves. said Rabbi Yaakov, reflecting on the loss of the great Rav Aaron Cutler Zatzal. So if there's a right way to serve Hashem, and there's a right place to serve Hashem, so what are tzaddikim? Why is Misa tzaddikim like the loss of Beis HaMikdash? Because when you see a tzaddik whose whole life is so focused, and he knows what ikar is, and he knows what tefillah is, he knows what real Avodas Hashem looks like, through and through. When you encounter that person, you get a sense, this is what it's really supposed to be. You meet a Rav Aaron Cutler and you say, this is a tzura of what Avodas Hashem really is supposed to be. You come to Beis HaMikdash and you say, you know, my Beis HaKnesses is nice, but this is what it's really supposed to be. This is what it really looks like. And the Gemara tells us when we don't have Beis HaMikdash, we still have to try to find that those individuals, Yaakov said, to find the people who are able to show us a picture of what real Yiddishkeit is supposed to look like. Amr of Yitzchak Chayim Odom Lahagvil Pnei Rabo Beregel. When you can't come Aliyah LeRegel to Beis HaMikdash anymore, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Tezayin says, so come to your Rebbe, come to a tzaddik. See a model of what an ideal place looks like. And that's the feeling that we have to have again when we recite these kinos about Beis HaMikdash. That sense of, we spoke about earlier, that sense that it's okay, it's not bad the way we have it, right? But it's not ideal. When you're in the makom miyuchad of the Hashras HaShechina, it's a different thing. You come to Yerushalayim, l'man tilmad liyiras Hashem lokecha kol hayamim. You come to Igor Meisr Sheni in Yerushalayim, and you come to Beis HaMikdash, as Rashi explains, because the Pesukim verse is talking about Yerushalayim, Bechlal. But you come to Beis HaMikdash and you see, what's Yirat Shamayim? What does it really look like? What's the makom that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen as his unique makom? And again, it's that feeling that we have to try to meditate on as we recite these kinos. It's not just that life in the Beis HaMikdash would be a little bit better, but there's a sense of a loss of that which is ikar in our lives. And that's what we're davening over when we recite these kinos about the Beis HaMikdash. Avi asher ta'avto adov reishi Kisei kavo lezarko Lavo lezarko Shudo v'yachu yini Visa kroa hoti yodra ashto Ata malifo What have I here? Avi asher komamto v'isa Shecherdas mi eifo Lavo lezarko Simo kroa
We move from one kina to a different kina in order to follow the order that Kalir had in mind. Now is a good time to have one of our first exit minyan, so those who have to be home to help their wives and take care of the children will have we'll finish up in the social hall with Elit Zion and the end of davening. We now skip to the 14th Kinah Yudalad. And we're wrapping up the next few kinos. Wrap up the first series, which all focus on the word Eicha, because Eicha is a strange construction. Eicha seems to be, just as we say Eich es olavadi, as Moshe Rabbeinu says. Eich Yoshua Badon. So Kalir interprets that there are many different interpretations of the word Eicha. And in Kina Yudalad, it brings us to the phrase, Vayikoinen alav Eicha ba'ayeka ba'eis tzor. That Eicha was a way of saying Eich, which brings us back to the first time that Aleph Yud Chaf Hei Chumash, and that's when Baruch Hu says to Adam Rishon, Ayeka. And ever since then, we use the word Eicha, Churban Bayis, Eicha Yoshev Madon. Saw a one-liner from Rabbi Friedman, Rishim Neretz Yisrael, I can do a rice, I think. So he says that Jews, we spend, so I'm using my words, but it's his idea, that so much of the time of Golos is a time when we ponder the Hester Panim of Baruch Hu, where our Eicha is an Ayeka. We say to Kadosh Baruch Hu, we don't see your clarity, we don't see your Nisim, we don't understand the Yisur and the difficulties. Kadosh Baruch Hu reminds us that the first Ayeka was Kadosh Baruch Hu pointed to Adam Arishan, to us, the people. The first Ayeka was Kadosh Baruch Hu asking us, Where are we? Where are our heads? Where are our minds? Eicha shekin barosu tama mele lekoyis to shekin shema shakotim 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 shakotim.
Yeah,
This brings us back to the kingdom of Yisrael.